Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, Text 26. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shripir, Edamana Madapuman, Naivarhat Yabidatum Vai, Twam Akinchana Gocharam. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly, O Govinda, O Krishna. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely 1. High parentage, 2. Good wealth, 3. High education, and 4. Attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever, and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign, as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shripir, Edamana Madapuman, Naivarhat Yabidatam Vai, Twam Akinchana Gocharam. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskrityadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasti Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very important prayer by Queen Kunti. Actually, so many of them are. She makes such valuable points. Her thinking is so incisive, cutting through the illusory coverings of the material nature, which would have us believe that material life is very nice and there are very good prospects for happiness and making your life something worthwhile. So therefore you should just actively engage in materialistic existence. Queen Kunti cuts through that with a perception and expression just like a knife cutting through butter, as they say. So, here, Janma, Aishvarya, Shruta, Shri, birth, good birth, great opulence, good education, and physical beauty. These things, which, of course, are so extremely desirable in material existence, Queen Kunti is making the point that actually they are great dangers. Beware. Beware of these things. Materialistic people, of course, their lives in many ways mean these things. That we're very proud of our birth. In Mauritius, are they still attached to like being born in a Brahmin family? Oh, thank you. What a nice boy. What a nice garland. Are they still attached to that?
No.
Not really? Wow. Making progress. In South Africa they have the Maharaj families. That's the family name. They're Brahmins. And many of them still, they really think they're pretty cool. Sharanas. They're also Brahmins. They think they're pretty, doing pretty well. Anyway, so people would like to be proud of their background in terms of family and upbringing. There's certainly opulence. Money can buy you everything, including respectability. So they're very keen on money. Education, always nice to say that you have an MBA or a something, something, something. And of course, beauty, handsomeness. One of the biggest industries is the cosmetics industry, which basically means personal beauty. Somehow or another, disguise the fact that you're pretty sort of ordinary looking by painting your face, wearing very flashy clothes, flashy hairstyle, some jewelry, etc. And people think, oh, look at this person, very desirable. But the classic, at least the classic caricature, with all respect, great respect and affection, is that the woman, once she's married, within a few days or quite soon, she appears at the breakfast table with her hair in curlers, looking like she just got run over by a motor car, and a cigarette hanging out of her mouth and just out of it. Anyway. So, Queen Kunti is saying, Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, these are all symptoms of the diseased condition. And that disease of material life is compared to having a fever, a high temperature. Probably we have all experienced that on a number of occasions. When you get a high temperature, do they count in Fahrenheit here or in centigrade? So normal is 36.5? Okay, say 36.5. And high is? Oh, 40 is dead, I think. 39 is really high. Yeah, 38, sure. You know, you'll have a headache and you'll be just dysfunctional. So nobody likes to have such a fever. We've all had, I imagine, such fevers. And the first thing you want is call the doctor, get some medication, lie down, something like that. Because it's painful. It's very disturbing. Disrupts your real business in life. So the possession of these things and the attachment to, the attraction to these things and making efforts to get them. For example, in England at least, maybe parts of Europe, you can buy a peerage. Peerage means a title. Earl, Baron, Marquess. Those are higher ones, Earl and Baron, they're higher. But Marquess, you can buy Marquess of something. And I don't even know, but they're different types of titles, which traditionally were given by the royal family to people who were like good servants of the state. But now, people are selling them, and you can buy them. And then you can be on your letterhead, you can say, Mr. John Smith. This is the most basic name. John Smith. Mr. John Smith, Marquess of something. And people will think, oh. So people are attracted to these things. People are attracted to these things and try to acquire these things. Even, you know, many people, in order to save or resurrect their good looks, they have plastic surgery of different types. And what to speak of tinting their hair. And, you know, hairstyles, one day hair up. Next day here sideways, next day here around in circles. These are all strategies for personal beauty. That's what it is. Don't let anyone fool you if they just say that, well, I wanted something different. So this is all part of the fever, but people think it is nice. It is nice getting, you know, fancy cosmetics and doing myself up and fancy clothes and looking very smart. Not that we should look like just vagabonds, but going overboard and really just making a sort of a display of yourself. This is another thing. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining it here as being, these are symptoms of a diseased condition, a feverish condition. And Srila Prabhupada, in that regard, gave an example little story, nice little story, very brief. There was one rich lady in Calcutta, and she was very proud of her wealth and respectability. And she had a maid. She had a maid who lived in the house and was working in the house, cleaning and all these types of things. So, but the rich lady, she looked down at the poor maid. And she would mock her sometimes. And at least within her mind, she really felt she was superior. She had a superiority complex. So, but they were working together regularly. So one day, the rich lady got sick. She got a fever. And because they're working together closely, the poor maid also got a fever. So the rich lady called the doctor. Doctor came, and they have fever. First thing, take the temperature. So she took the temperature. The rich lady, her temperature was 38. The poor maid, her temperature was 39, higher. And the rich lady chastised the doctor. What do you mean? I only have 38, she has 39. I should have a higher temperature than her. Take another reading. What sort of doctor are you? So this illustrates the point. People think that to have the feverish condition more is better. In other words, if you're running around and working hard and earning money, then you are better situated than someone who is more sattvic and more cool-headed like that. So this is material existence, though. Material existence really is like that. And there are many problems with that. One of the problems Queen Kunti is pointing out here, very important problem. If you have these things, these different manifestations of the fever, of the disease of material existence, if you're born in a high family and you have a lot of money and etc., etc., if you have all these things, then it is more difficult, actually it is much more difficult, even it may be impossible, to really approach the Lord sincerely, with sincere feeling, to call out to the Lord. Classic example we mentioned the other day, a very well-known example, is Draupadi. There was the gambling match, she was lost, and taken by the other side. And then in order to show off, they decided, let us undress her in public and just show she's ours and you, the Pandavas, you can't do anything because she's ours. So Dushasana started trying to undress her to take her sari off. And naturally, Draupadi initially was resisting. Of course, she was resisting. But Draupadi, as a woman, against this big, powerful warrior, what could she do? She couldn't stop him. So he was pulling the sari away, bit by bit, more by more and more. And Draupadi's holding on, but it's slipping out of her grasp. And she understood, I can't do this. I can't do this. What to do? Well, I must take shelter of Krishna. That's all I can do. So, with one hand, she let go of the sari. The other hand was still holding on. But one hand she let go, she raised that hand and called out, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. Took shelter of Krishna. Very nice. And what happened? What happened, boys? Do you know? Were you listening? What happened? What happened? Krishna came. Okay, that's it. The answer is nothing happened. Nothing happened. But except Dushasana was pulling more sari, because now she's only holding on with one hand. And then she realized, there's just nothing I can do at all, except take shelter of Krishna completely, leave it up to him. So she let go with both hands, and there's famous painting. She has her hands up, Dushasana's pulling the sari, and she's just calling out, Hey Govinda, Hey Krishna. And then Krishna manifested as the endless sari, and Dushasana was pulling and pulling, and it's just coming and coming and coming and piling up, till he became exhausted and he couldn't do anything and he had to give up. So this is a very clear example. If we try to take shelter of our own material so-called opulences and qualifications and so on like that, which we have simply received as part of our karma, they have been given to us or loaned to us in terms of our karma, and will be lost in due course in terms of our karma. But if we try to take shelter of these things, then we're unable to really take shelter of Krishna, who is the person who can actually give us shelter. There is a verse in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. How does it begin? Dehapatya kalatradishu atmasanyesh vasatsvapi. That all these different things, like opulence, family members, name and fame, reputation, etc., which people feel are helping them. That verse describes they're simply like fallible soldiers. Fallible soldiers. You're trying to protect yourself from the dangers of material existence with an army of fallible soldiers. In this sense, fallible soldier means that the enemy, Maya, comes with some attack, disease, death, war, some really serious attack. And there's your army of fallible soldiers. But when a real big enemy attacks, your army of fallible soldiers immediately, bang, they all go down. They just all go down. They cannot protect you. It's like in some of these movies, there are 20 bad guys against the good guy, and they're shooting, shooting, shooting. They can't hit him. He fires one shot, all 20 drop dead. So, anyway, fallible soldiers means like that. We surround ourselves with these things, and we are thinking they will protect us, they will help us, But as soon as there's a serious attack, particularly like old age and most particularly death, then all those things can't help you. All the money in the world, when the time of death comes, when the Yamadutas come, what are you going to do? Pull out your credit card? You know, can I pay over 6 months? They don't, Yamadutas don't accept credit cards. Actually, there's nothing you can do. You can't fight against them at all. You can't talk your way past them. You can't buy your way out of it. When the time of death comes, that's it. Srila Prabhupada said about Mahatma Gandhi, so extremely famous even till today. I was in Russia a little while ago. There's some billboard advertising something, I forget what. There, picture of Gandhi. In Russia, picture of Gandhi. And this is just a couple of years ago. So he's still famous. Big man. Prabhupada said though, when the time of death came, Gandhi could not do anything. He could not tell the Yamadutas, listen, I'm Mahatma Gandhi. You heard of me? Yes, sir. So, you know, don't bug me. Go to some other little person. I'm a big person. Prabhupada said, when the time of death came to Mahatma Gandhi, there was nothing he could say. Death came. Prabhupada said, death came and simply... death came and simply threw him away. Threw him away. He did not get first class ticket to Yamaloka. Just ordinary economy class out the window. Threw him away. There was nothing he could say. So the point is, we need to approach Krishna sincerely. And not on a business basis. For every round I chant, you must give me 10 rupees. And if I do more than 16, you must give me 100 rupees for the extra rounds. Not like that. We have to approach Krishna sincerely, and then Krishna will notice. Just like we requested a demonstration from Krishna Kripa. See, there he is. He's continuing the demonstration. Prabhupada said, we should chant like a child crying for the mother. When the child cries for the mother sincerely, the mother drops everything and comes. Of course, the mother knows. At least the experienced mother, after some time, she comes to learn when the child is serious and when the child is just joking or trying to take advantage. So sometimes when the child cries, the mother may not come. But when the child really cries out from the heart with real feeling, immediately the good mother comes, and Krishna is the same. If we chant sincerely, if we chant nicely, Krishna will come. Krishna will help us. Krishna will protect us in so many ways. So let's try and cultivate that. Really take shelter of Krishna. How are we going to do that? How are we going to chant with sincere feeling? Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that a helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. So when a person is helpless, hopeless. When a person's in a bad position, then they can call out. In English, there's a saying from the First World War, you never find an atheist in a foxhole. Foxhole means it's the open battlefield. In the middle, there where all the shells and things have exploded and the bombs, and they make holes in the ground. The holes are called foxholes. So when they're trying to advance to the other side, they go from foxhole to foxhole. Because when they're in a foxhole, they can't be shot so easily. So they run from one foxhole to the next one. They don't all reach the next one. But those who reach it, it's like, wow, God. Oh, God. Save us. So they say, you never find an atheist in a foxhole. So when people are in distress, in despair, then they may call out to Krishna to help them. So what does that mean? Does it mean we should put people in distress? New preaching strategy, put people in distress so they pray to Krishna, please help me. Or should we pray to Krishna, put me in distress? Actually, Queen Kunti in the previous verse did exactly that. I wish those calamities would happen again and again. So should we pray for that? I want to suffer more. Please take away all my money. Get my parents to throw me out on the street. Get me kicked out of school. Then robbed. Should we do that? Good idea. Then I'll really feel distressed. Then I can really chant, Hare Krishna, from the heart. Not a very good idea. Because people who are in distress, they chant Hare Krishna or pray to God to get relief from their distress. But when they get relief from the distress, they don't want to go back into feeling distress again. When they get relief from the distress, they normally forget about God. Thank you for relieving my distress, and when I'm in distress again, I'll call for you. So, if a person's in distress, he may take shelter of Krishna. But if he's constantly in distress and Krishna's apparently not helping him, then he's going to stop calling out to Krishna because he'll think, this is not working. Let me drink my way out of distress. Let me smoke lots of ganja so I get out of distress. Or even let me just commit suicide. So what we need to do, we need to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Because if we do like that, we'll then get jnana chakshus, the eyes of knowledge. And we will be able to see how the material world is not nice, how we must not be attached to the material world, how we need to take shelter of Krishna without having to just be put in distress. Even while feeling extremely happy in Krishna consciousness, we'll feel inspired to take shelter of Krishna and really chant with real feeling like this. So this is what we should do. We should try and chant as nicely as we can, study Srila Prabhupada's books so it becomes clear to us what is this material world, and in that way we can call out to the Lord with great feeling. And you even get people like Arjuna, Yudhisthira, the Pandavas. They had all those things. They had high parentage. They were extremely opulent, at least when they became the kings. and they were very beautiful. They're very well educated. But they really took shelter of Krishna completely. Hare Krishna. They took shelter of Krishna completely. So as a devotee advances, the devotee is able to take shelter of Krishna in real terms, even in the midst of material opulence and things of that sort. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comment or question from anyone? Yes.
About Mother Kunti.
Kunti. Yeah.
Was she in distress when she stopped taking the name of Lord Krishna, or was she taking the name of Lord Krishna even before the life?
Well, she's an eternal associate. You know, there was never a before time for her, you know, before Krishna consciousness, as there was for us. So, but the thing is, she was put in distress. And when she was put in distress, you know, on another hand, you could say, well, she's a great devotee, so she didn't really feel the distress. But in order to teach us, she acted as if she was really distressed. And she called out to Krishna in a mood of distress. In different situations we read, actually, when they were in exile, she called out in distress. But for her, there was never any before time, before she was a devotee. If you mean like that? Or what do you mean?
For me, it's a general point. She asked Lord Krishna to give her more distress so that she can remember Lord Krishna always.
Right.
But if we see the point, I don't think that we have to wait for us to be distressed to call out the name of Lord Krishna.
No, well, we don't.
We don't have to wait for that.
Yeah, many people, though, they do.
Yes.
It takes that. But for us, well, hopefully what applies to us, I already mentioned, if we try our best to chant, if we study Prabhupada's books and develop knowledge of what is this world, what's wrong with this world, what is wrong with me, how I need to improve myself and become a real devotee and a better devotee, then that can be an that should be the inspiration. Not only that we feel inspired to take shelter when we're distressed, but the material world being what it is, from time to time we will be faced with difficulty. Don't worry. It's not that just because you've become a devotee, now you're never going to have any more difficulty. You are. But the thing is, now you'll know how to deal with them.
You understand them better now.
Much better. And we can understand them better and better until we see it so clearly. Material existence is a total waste of time, and then we just have no time for material existence. And it's not, you know, when things are going good, then we start thinking, oh, I could enjoy, yes, you know. But we really feel this material world is a dead end. I'm just not going to enter into a dead end. I'm staying out. I'm staying in Krishna consciousness. But at least, you know, it's a start. If when people are distressed, they take shelter of Krishna, it's a start. And if they, from that point, if they can get the idea more, so that they then become attached to Krishna, even when they're not distressed, then they're making progress. And for the devotees, this is what the devotees need to do. So that even when we're in great, great happiness, we're taking shelter of Krishna completely. Hare Krishna. That includes you too, sir. Srila Prabhupada ki.